Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in on this All Saints Sunday. This is the Sunday when we remember those that we have loved and lost over this past year, ones that we believe have entered the internal realm and love of God. But before we do that, we've got a story of Jesus edging ever closer to Jerusalem. It's a story of a fox and a hen and a city that kills the prophets. And to prepare us for that word, we've got our dear friend Nick Dupuy, who will be singing our anthem, Go Light Your World.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his home candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. And now, 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 now. Hey, now, 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 now. 'Cause we are a family whose hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. Go light your world.
So as I mentioned, we're looking at the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, this story that's referred to as Jesus's lament over Jerusalem. Again, a story of a fox, a hen, and a city that kills the prophets. In chapter 13, verse 31, we read this. At that very hour, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Which, interestingly, it's good to note that the Pharisees and Jesus weren't always fighting. Here we have some religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, who are looking to protect him. They said, "Leave, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Tell that fox, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I've desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Let's take a moment and pray together. Lord God, the flower fades, the earth passes away, the grass withers, but your word endures forever. We ask that you would share your word with us in this moment, that it might sustain us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I know I've said this a number of times before, but so much of Jesus' teaching, the Gospels, they don't make much sense without resurrection. Jesus continually preached, and you hear this throughout his entire Sermon on the Mount, he kind of preached self-sacrificial living, self-sacrificing love. And to my mind, the only way a daily life of self-sacrifice makes any sense, the only way that that's compelling is if resurrection is real and life is eternal. About a decade ago, there was that whole YOLO phenomenon. You only live once. It was this kind of mentality, you know, live your best life now because this is it. And if that's the case, then self-sacrifice probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But resurrection changes everything. Resurrection for Jesus and for us is the bold claim of our faith that does change our perspective on the world. And the claim is this, that Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus sacrificed himself for us, teaching and preaching God's word right there in the midst of his enemies. And you know what? He was executed for his efforts. But the thing is, that worst and most vicious act was not the end. According to our faith story, rejection, torture, and even a humiliating death on a Roman cross was not the end, because 3 days later, the tomb was empty and Jesus began appearing to his failed friends. That's why we worship on Sunday morning. Right? Not, I know that we're fond of quoting the psalm at the beginning of every worship service, and I'm never going to suggest that we change the way we start worship with "This is the day the Lord has made." But the truth is, probably every Sunday morning, we should echo that Easter Sunday morning proclamation where we say, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ the Lord is risen today," for that is the foundation of our faith. And to understand Jesus, to embrace the life Jesus calls us into, we need an understanding of, and hopefully, ideally, we need a belief in resurrection and the eternal nature of this life that God has given us to lead. Now, I bring this up because Jesus used an image to describe his inclination toward people that would have been absolutely confounding to Charles Darwin and anyone else who would claim that our personal survival instincts are primary drivers and motivators for us. The story begins, as I said, with some Pharisees. It says, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, that's Herod Antipas, King Herod the Great's son, who ruled Galilee. He was the one, you may remember, who had John the Baptist beheaded. And now he'd begun to set his sights on Jesus. There was a growing sense that Jesus was in danger in Galilee. That fox, Herod, that fox was on the prowl, and people who cared about Jesus were growing concerned. Now, of course, the only place more dangerous for Jesus than Galilee was Jerusalem. I mean, that was an entire fox den, or a fox house, if you will. Pardon me. Jerusalem's religious, political, and occupying leaders, they would turn out to be every bit as sly every bit as tricky and dangerous as Herod to the north. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't ever shy away from danger. He didn't give up on people who disappointed him. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. Jesus was deeply grieved over the state of the holy city, but then he went to it, and that's key. He went to it. Jesus went to be present to that city in all its brokenness and dysfunction. Jesus didn't forsake the city, and this is really wild. He didn't forsake the city in which he would die. Jesus was always drawn to the hard and dangerous places because that is where he was and is most needed. And you know this. Historically, Christians have been called to places and situations of challenge because that is where the healing Holy Spirit of Jesus is most needed. And as Christians, as bearers of Jesus' name, we bring his Spirit with us wherever we go. And FYI, if you're looking for the Lord, if you're looking for an encounter with Jesus, a deepening of your faith, we need to realize you will find him where hardship makes his home. Places of hardship and challenge, that's where Jesus' Spirit is most alive and well. But it's actually how Jesus envisioned going to the fox house of Jerusalem that I really want us to take note of. So Jesus laments, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." According to Jesus, his desire, his inclination to go and be with people who are in need is like that of a mother hen protecting, hiding her chicks. Now, there's actually a fair bit of biblical imagery of God hiding God's people under God's wings, but you know, those references tend to be that of the wings of a great eagle, a huge bird with a piercingly dangerous hooked beak, those knife-sharp talons, an eagle that can be every a bit as fearsome and predatory as fox-like adversaries. But the eagle is not the image Jesus used for himself and God. No, no, no. And that's important to take note of. Jesus indicates that he's like a mother hen going to the fox house of Jerusalem to attempt to shelter and protect her brood. I mean, what a gentle, loving, and totally ill-conceived plan and image, right? I mean, as I considered this image of Jesus going to the mean streets of Jerusalem like a hen entering a fox den, I admit I went online to see if there were any examples of hens outwitting or outlasting a fox. You can find almost anything on YouTube. So I thought, you know, there must be at least one miraculous good news story when a fox enters a hen house. I admit it, I was kind of looking for, I don't know, like a superhero hen, or perhaps I would discover hens had some surprising defensive ability that I was unaware of, but that Jesus considered effective for protecting the brood. Well, let me tell you, don't Google foxes and hens. You want to see something remarkable? Google eagle versus fox, because an eagle can take out a fox, but don't Google foxes and hens. It's awful. Brutal, actually. The hen never wins. Never. Hens never survive a fox attack. A fox is a predator, a hen is prey. The roles never reverse. So why then did Jesus choose that image of a nurturing but ultimately powerless creature when expressing his desire to gather his people together in a hostile environment? Why is such a doomed enterprise part of the gospel? How is that good news? Well, let me just pause to remind you, and I say this because I've got to remind myself from time to time, of the nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we read, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him," you know this, "they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. That was Jesus' birth announcement. Jesus is God with us. Not God protected us against all ills and evils. Not God bless us every single moment of the day. Not God prevent us from ever having to struggle or suffer. No, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us wherever we go. God with us in and through whatever calamity we find ourselves in. And ultimately, God with us at the time of our death, ushering us into eternal life. You know, as a pastor, I've discovered that we can manage through just about anything as long as we're not alone. We can survive almost anything as long as we have companionship through the trials we face. Even death itself, honestly, I've seen this, it's eased when loving family members and friends are gathered around the bedside. So I've come to believe that one of our greatest human fears is to be alone. to be left alone. In fact, I know, like you do, that there is a loneliness epidemic in our country. There may be members of our congregation who are lonely and living in loneliness in this time. That there's a ministry there for us to reach out to people who might feel as if they are the only one all alone. You know, it's very possible that what we fear most about something like death is the perceived loneliness of that journey, as if we must make the sojourn from this life to the next entirely by ourselves. You know, if loneliness is our great fear, then eternal companionship may be the ultimate saving grace. That's Jesus' deepest desire, to gather us, to gather you under his wings. It's not the promise that the foxes of the world won't tear us apart. No. No, it's just a promise that Jesus will come to us in our distress. Jesus will draw close to us in our distress. Jesus will go through everything we must endure right by our side. Because with Jesus, we live and we die and we are reborn as one. You know, I was thinking about the power of presence in unwinnable or barely survivable circumstances and how presence can truly matter. And I was reminded of nearly two nearly identical conversations that I had in two very desperate corners of our world. In my former church, we had a 4-decades-long, it's still going on to this day, relationship with a doctor in El Salvador with whom we had launched a rural health clinic in that country. Our church would go down twice a year, went down every year, twice a year to visit our friends in that country. And it was a relationship that was formed during the Salvadoran Civil War in the 1980s. And we went down there during that Civil War all through the 80s. Now, during my first visit, the violence of Civil War had been replaced by an even more terrifying violence from gangs. I remember being at dinner with our partner, Dr. Vicky Guzman, in El Salvador, and listening to her and her staff describe how much more dangerous the gangs were than the government repression during the Civil War. During the war, they said, at least you kind of knew through whom and from what direction the violence might come. Today, gang violence seems to come out of nowhere and when you least expect it. You know, I was so moved by their stories and frankly moved by their fear that I asked, let us know, what can we do to help? And I'll never forget, Dr. Vicky said, keep visiting us. Keep visiting us. It reminds us we're not forgotten. We draw so much strength from your visits. It helps us through the rest of the year. Last June, when I was in the West Bank town of Taipei, that last little Christian village in Palestine, I spoke to person after person about what it was like living between Israeli settlers who keep taking your land and Muslim communities who wish you were not there at all. And they were heartbreaking stories. And I asked again, you know, what can we do? Our little church here in New Canaan. I was told, visit us. Visit us. Bring your church members here so that we know we're not alone. Presence, not letting people live or struggle or die alone. Even if it's as much a losing proposition as sheltering a hen in a fox house, our presence to people, our presence in places of need, that can make all the difference in the world. Because ours is an Emmanuel faith, right? Ours is a God with us face, us with others together, doing our best to be there for each other, offering what comfort and protection we can. You know, it may seem a foolish offering to make, but it's the very offering that gave rise to the faith we preach and live. And if you've ever been alone, if you've ever been alone and suffering, and someone's come to your aid with nothing more than their presence, oh my word, you know what a gift that is, and that it's nothing short of divine. As I said, today is All Saints Sunday. It is the day when we remember all of our loved ones that have departed our midst over this past year. And I know that for many folks in our congregation who grew up in certain Christian traditions, you kind of consider saints, well, primarily canonized holy people, globally recognized and revered by the church. But you know, the Apostle Paul believed we are all called to be saints. And a saint really is simply a person who possesses a degree of holiness, a degree of likeness, a degree of closeness to God. Being in the presence of a saint is like being in the presence of our Lord. It can be an Emmanuel experience. And that's what we're called to be as Christian people, saints through whom others experience the presence of God. Now, okay, we don't always live it out well, but that is what we Christians aspire to. It's what we're trying to learn and practice in the life of the church. We strive to be God's presence in an aching world. We strive to be Christ's presence in a suffering world. Now, I know our efforts might appear no more effective than a hen sheltering her chicks as foxes approach. But I'll tell you, that willingness to shelter the vulnerable, that's an act of faith that pleases our Lord to no end. And it's an act of faith that reverberates into eternity. And we dare to believe that Emmanuel acts of faith like that have a way of tipping the balance of worldly power toward that which is good. I mean, think of some of the sheltering acts of faith we know happened during the years of the Underground Railroad in our country or the Holocaust in Europe. It makes a difference, and it pleases the Lord. So, how do we respond to our Savior who chooses to go right into the foxhouse to be with us when we struggle, chooses to be with us in our peril? What do we do with that kind of Lord and Savior? Well, we gather close. When we're threatened or we're worried or at death's door, we gather close. We cleave to our faith. We cleave to our Lord. We pray. We worship. We immerse ourselves in His presence. We may go down, okay? That's the truth. We may go down, but we will never go alone. And when you know someone who is struggling in isolation, a family member, a friend, or even an enemy of sorts, go to them. Be God's presence for them. Even if you believe your efforts won't do a lick of good, trust that your presence can make an important difference. And finally, if you look at the foxhouse before you and you think there's 1,001 other places you would rather be, that's okay, that's normal. That's a natural response. But dare to go in anyway. For when you go to someone's aid, upon your arrival, you will likely find another, one who is already there awaiting your arrival, a holy hen with wings outstretched to shelter you too. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who promised us that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. Emmanuel, God with us in this life and in the next. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the Emmanuel promise of our faith, this promise that in and through all things you are with us. And particularly in times of peril, Lord, you seek to draw us close. So Lord God, allow us not to scurry about, but to be drawn right to you so that we might derive a degree of strength and comfort from your presence. And Lord God, when we see people who are lonely, when we see places of loneliness and pain and aching, help us as your people, as Christians, as bearers of your name, to go into those places so that we can be your presence there as well. Lord God, help us to live in ways that please you. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. So, church family, another week to enter into together and let these words, this priestly benediction, carry you into this week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.